Praise God. Anybody wake up this morning saying, the God of the breakthrough is visiting my house? Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesse's not out here yet. He does follow me. So wherever he might be, Jesse, I'm sorry. The devil made me do it.
Hallelujah.
All right. Let's open our Bibles, first of all, to Isaiah chapter 61. And I want to share with you in this final session that I have of what to do while you're waiting for your breakthrough. What to do scripturally while you're waiting for your breakthrough. There are a lot of people in the body of Christ today that need breakthroughs. And it seems that many of them spend their entire lives just trying to survive. And I believe God wants us to go higher than that, praise God. God promises breakthroughs, turnarounds in our lives if we will follow His Word, if we will apply His Word, if we will hold fast to His Word. Isaiah 61, I want to read just verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Notice here God is saying that He can turn your life around. He can turn ashes into something beautiful. And He can cause mourning to leave your life and bring a spirit of joy into your life. He can remove the garment of heaviness and replace it with a garment of praise. So obviously God is talking about a turnaround in your life here. God is telling us that no matter how hopeless our lives might seem to be at this moment, He can turn it around and He can make something beautiful out of it. The Message translation says He can give you joy instead of doom. Hallelujah. In other words, you don't have to remain as you are. Now, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is Your faithfulness. God will not allow us to be consumed. Why? Because His compassion fails not, and His mercies are new every morning, and He is faithful, praise God. So, I want you to declare right now, God will not let me fail. The God I serve is faithful. He's the God of the breakthrough. I've done what He said. I've applied His Word. And breakthrough is inevitable. So praise Him for it right now. Amen. Praise Him for it. While we're waiting for that breakthrough, whether it manifests in an hour, a day, a week, a month, whatever, what we do from the time we apply God's Word until the manifestation or the confirmation of it with signs following, what we do between that time, I call it living between amen and there it is. It's what you do between amen and there it is that determines whether or not you will ever have a there it is or a due season. And so let's look at some important keys for what to do while we're waiting for our breakthrough. Number one, stop listening to the lies of the devil. Stop listening to the lies of the devil. Jesus declared that Satan is a liar. In John chapter 8, verse 44, He said, Satan is a liar and the father of it. The Message translation says, there isn't a shred of truth in him. I love that translation. There isn't a shred of truth in Satan. In other words, Satan is incapable of telling the truth. We know the Word says that it's impossible for God to lie. It's equally impossible for the devil to tell the truth. So whatever he's saying to you is a lie. Now the problem is, so many of God's people listen to those lies. He would love to plant the thought in your mind that what you did last night, sowing a significant seed, In fact, if he hasn't already told you, he probably will at some time. You just wasted that seed. You just wasted that money. Or you'd have been better off just holding on to it. You don't really think that you're going to have a breakthrough. Now, the fact that he starts in on you immediately after you act on the word tells you how desperate he is.
Amen.
And let's remember now, Jesus said, he is incapable, Satan that is, of telling the truth. There isn't a shred of truth in him. So if you got up this morning and Satan started bombarding your mind with, that's not going to work, that's not going to come to pass, that only works for Jesse, it won't work for you, then you should have started rejoicing right then. Because you just heard a lie. Whatever the devil's telling you, believe the opposite. If he's waking you up in the middle of the night saying, no way, that's always a good indication. He's under a lot of pressure and the way is about to show up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Look at somebody and say, the devil's a liar. Don't believe a word he says. His nature will not allow him to tell the truth. Now, he can take the truth and distort it, but he cannot tell the truth. He's incapable of that. The Message translation goes on to say that when Satan speaks, he makes it up out of his own lying nature. You ever met somebody that's a habitual liar? Don't look at anybody. I said, did you ever meet anybody who is a habitual liar? I mean, they can't tell the truth.
For lying,
you know. And every time they talk, the lie gets bigger. You know what I'm talking about? There was a comedian one time that one of his lines was, he was president of the Liars Club. And his skit was to tell a lie, and then somebody would, you know, interview him a little more, and the lie just got bigger and bigger. You know, it was funny to watch this guy just keep stretching the truth, you know. But he was a habitual liar, and he could not tell the truth. Well, Satan is the father of liars. He is incapable of telling the truth. And one of his best weapons is simply the ability to lie and get people to fall for it. And so many of God's people are falling for his lies. And it's amazing to me that somebody will say, well, the devil told me this and the devil told me that. And immediately I will ask them, what's God saying? Well, he doesn't talk to me. And I immediately wonder, why is it they are so sensitive to the devil's voice, so insensitive to God's? I can tell you why. They're spending too much time with the wrong fellow.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Spending too much time with the wrong fellow. Satan is a liar. He cannot tell the truth. If he woke you up this morning saying, you can forget that breakthrough stuff, then it was a lie. Now, what you're going to have to learn to do is to react to his lies differently than you have in the past. Instead of dwelling on it, meditating it, giving it place in your thought life, the moment he talks it, the moment he speaks it, break out into joy. Do something that he didn't count on. He doesn't count on you laughing in his face. He doesn't count on you breaking forth into joy. He doesn't count on you going and saying, you know what the devil just said? Funniest thing I ever heard in my life. You know what the devil just said? He just said, I'm not going to have a breakthrough. Sounds like to me my breakthrough's on my way, on its way, praise God. Amen. He's a liar. But yet so many of God's people to this day still believe in the lies of Satan more than they do the Word of God. Now, isn't it amazing that one of the names associated with Jesus is the truth? The truth. You ever notice the number of times in the Bible that Jesus speaking and he will preface something with, verily, verily, I say unto you? Verily, verily means truly, truly. Or in other words, what I'm about to say to you is no lie. And it's amazing to me that he ever had to say truly, truly. Because he was the truth. But many times some of the things he said seemed so far-fetched to their minds that he had to start it with, what I'm about to say to you is no lie. What I'm about to say to you is the truth. Now here we got Jesus is the truth. Satan is a liar. And yet many of God's people prefer to believe the devil more than they do the truth. So if you're going to have your breakthrough, What you do between amen and there it is totally dependent upon how you treat the information that Satan is going to try to feed to your mind before you reach your destination or your due season. So Satan is a liar. You got to stop listening to his lies. He wants you to dwell on everything that is negative about your situation, and he'll try to convince you that there is no use. You might as well give up. You will never hear God tell you to give up.
Right.
If you're hearing give up, I can promise you it didn't come from God.
That's right.
If you're hearing retreat, back off, throw in the towel, quit, no use, no way, I can promise you that was not the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. So once again, you know, we have to get very blunt. If you quit under pressure, it's because you believed a lie. You were deceived by a lie. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Now, that's not the issue. Yeah, but if you were going through what I'm going through, you would have given up too. How do you know I haven't gone through what you've been through? You know, a lot of times people have the idea that we don't go through what they go through. I mean, they got us on some kind of pedestal like we are superhuman and we live in this protective bubble and we don't go through anything they go through. In fact, to be very honest with you, we go through more than some of you go through because the Bible says to whom much is given, much is required.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
There's some things we go through that maybe you'll never go through because you're not responsible for what we're responsible for. So, you know, don't insult my intelligence by telling me, well, you just don't know what it's like. Well, I may not have gone through exactly the same situation, but pressure is pressure. Amen. Pressure is pressure. No matter where it comes from or why it came, it's still pressure. And we've all experienced pressure, but you have a choice. I like what I heard Brother Copeland say many, many years ago. It really made an impact on me. He said, you and I are the establishing witness. He said, God's saying one thing, the devil's saying something else. You're right in between what both of them are saying, and you become the establishing witness. You either agree with God, or you either agree with the devil. Either way, you're going to get what one of them says. It's going to come to pass in your life. You're the one who determines which one will come to pass, what the devil said or what God said. You are the establishing witness. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, Satan hopes that you're going to wallow around in self-pity because it looks like nothing's working. He hopes that you will lose all hope of your situation ever turning around. He'll try to get you to believe that this works for Jerry or this works for Brother Copeland or Brother Jesse or Brother somebody, but who are you? How many of you have ever heard that? Well, who are you? Well, tell him who you are. Just ask him, how much time you got? Amen? And start telling him what God says you are. I mean, he won't hang around and listen to that for very long. Amen? I remember years ago, I mean, when I first went into ministry and I'm just learning these things. And, you know, it was tough. I mean, I didn't know how to walk by faith. I was just learning. And Brother Copeland came and preached this word of faith to me and got me all stirred up and then left town. You know, and I didn't have anybody in my city that I could go to. I mean, a lot of the same people that were in that meeting that I was in heard Brother Copeland, and some of them didn't like it. They didn't like him. But I knew what I was hearing was the truth. And I was desperate for it, but when he left town and I'd try to go find somebody to, you know, tell me more. I couldn't find anybody. You know, you people today, I don't feel sorry for you at all when you quit today. I mean, when you got 9,000 books and tapes, get a magazine from 20,000 preachers every month, 24-hour Christian television, Word of Faith Church on nearly every corner now. The term Word of Faith Church didn't exist in 1969. Amen. And as far as Word of Faith preachers, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, that's about it. We didn't have these great meetings you could go to all over the country. If you got a hold of the Word of Faith back then, it's because you were desperate. And you had to make up your mind that if you were the only one in your city that believed it, you were going to stick with it. Because there wasn't a whole lot of people
that would encourage you. I tried to find them. They were not there. There were more of them trying to talk me out of it than talk me into it. One lady, bless her heart, she was supposed to be the pillar of the church. I kept asking, who knows anything about faith in this church? And everybody said, go to this lady. She's the pillar of the church. Her husband was a great man of faith, and she knows about faith. And so I went to her one day, and I said, ma'am, they tell me you know a lot about faith, and I'm hungry for God, I'm hungry to live by faith, and I want you to help me out. Can you tell me how I can live by faith? She said, well, let me just tell you to start off with, you can forget about having faith like Oral Roberts. I said, ma'am, I didn't mention Oral Roberts at all when I just asked you to talk to me about faith. I said, that thought never crossed my mind, having faith like Oral Roberts. I just want to know how to live by faith. I said, but since you brought it up, why can't I have faith like Oral Roberts? She said, see there, I told you, you're wanting faith like Oral Roberts and you'll never have it. I said, well, ma'am, why can't I have faith like Oral Roberts? She said, he's special. Well, that gives you that warm feeling all over, you know. I mean, he's special. What am I? Now, I agreed. He was a great man of God. But you mean he can have something that I can't have? Then I'm going to have to remove a scripture that says God's no respecter of persons.
That's right.
Yeah, I believed he was a great man of God. But when you tell me I can't have faith like him, why not? And so finally she looked around like, we don't want this to get out to the FBI, you know. We're about to get her own personal revelation here. And she said, you don't know why Oral Roberts has great faith? I said, no, ma'am, I don't, but I'd like to know. She said, well, you'll never have faith like his. I said, well, would you mind explaining why not? She said, well, if you must know, it's because of his name. I said, his name? She said, yes, Oral Roberts. I said, what has that got to do with anything? She said, don't you know in the Bible names mean something? Abraham, the father of faith. I said, yeah, but Oral? What is so special about the name Oral? I said, that's a strange name. I said, his mother was a Cherokee Indian, full-blood Cherokee Indian. What Cherokee Indian names her child Oral? Why wasn't he Big Bear, Running Eagle, Dances with Wolves, or something, you know? Oral? I said, what is so special about Oral? I thought, what was his mama thinking when she named him? Oral. What are we going to call this baby? How about Oral? In fact, that's not even his first name. That's his middle name. His first name's Granville Oral. That's even worse. Now, don't run tell Oral Roberts I'm talking about it. He heard me preach this at ORU, and he fell out right on the floor while I was preaching. Laughing, praise God. I said, what is so special about Oral? She said, you don't know anything, do you? I said, no, ma'am. Would you please tell me what is so special about the name Oral, and why does he get this great faith and I can't have any? She said, okay, here you go. Oral, say it. I said, Oral. She said, say it again. I said, Oral. She said, say it again. I said, Oral, 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 Oral. She said, you don't get it? I said, I don't get it. She said, don't you know what the name Oral means? I said, I don't have a clue. She said, it means the spoken word, Oral. Spoken word, Oral. Spoken word, Oral. Spoken word. I said, and because his name means spoken word, God gave him all this great faith? Yes. And she said, and your problem is your name's Jerry. You mean to tell me I can't have faith like Oral Roberts because he got the spoken word and I got Jerry? She said, that's it. And she turned around and left me with this great revelation. I thought, God, that can't be true. But just in case, I'm young in faith, and just in case she's right, I went home, I got my dictionary out, and I looked up the name Jerry. And you know what it said? The slang name for a German. During World War II, our GIs called Germans Jerrys. I said, God, how will I ever get anything done with a slang name of a German? And you gave Oral the spoken word. I said, that couldn't have anything to do with it. Surely, just because I got the slang name of a German, you're going to limit me with just a small amount of faith. He said, don't believe that. Go to the Word. And I found out faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. The difference between Oral and many other people, he did something with the measure of faith God gave him. And it continued to increase. Faith kept coming and increasing. And I found out if I did the same thing he did, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word, mine would grow right along with his, praise God. But a few years later, I met a rabbi. And he said, by the way, have you ever wondered what your name Jerry means in Hebrew? I said, you know. He said, yes, I can tell you. He said, it means appointed by God. I said, look out, Oral. Hallelujah. I'm appointed by God. He got the spoken word, but I'm appointed by God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
No, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? Don't believe those lies that it'll work for somebody else, but it won't work for you. And whatever excuse the devil gives you as to why it won't work. Now, can you imagine where I'd be today spiritually if I had listened to that woman? If I had accepted that as final authority? You got to be careful who you listen to. Sometimes even sincere Christians can be sincerely wrong. They mean well, but sometimes they can be the messenger of Satan. Amen? I know what some of you are thinking. Relatives. Relatives. Messengers of Satan. Well, we've all had relatives like that, you know. And you'd think when you surrender your life to God that all your relatives would be excited about it. Not all of them are. No, not all of them are. But praise God, they can't argue anymore. I mean, after 35 years of, you know, victory in Jesus, they can't argue anymore, praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Satan will try his best to control your thoughts and fill your mind with his lies. You have to understand that his lies are meant to bring confusion. People that are confused about what they believe do not get results in their life. God is not the author of confusion. If you're confused about what you believe, then I can promise you that you're listening to the lies of the devil, because Satan is a liar and God is not the author of confusion. He'll endeavor to confuse you in whether or not what you're doing is scriptural or not. Well, if you're not sure, go to the Bible and find out. Once again, he cannot speak the truth. All he can do is distort the truth. If you say, I know God can, the devil will come up and say, yeah, but he won't. Well, when he says that, just start laughing at him. Rejoice in God because he just told you a lie. Amen. You got to learn how to react to Satan's lies. Don't let them penetrate your mind, because if you dwell on them long enough up here, they will eventually drop down here into your spirit. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, and you're going to start releasing some spiritual laws out of your mouth that are either going to release you or bind you. Amen? You can be snared by the words of your mouth. But it all starts with a thought. Starts right here. I wrote a book not too long ago about thoughts. The battle between your ears. That's where your biggest battles are. Between your ears. And if Satan can control what's going on between your ears, then he can control your destiny. So you got to be very careful about what you listen to. And if you realize that what was just spoken to you doesn't line up with the Word of God, if it brings confusion into your life, if it robs you of your peace and your joy, then it wasn't God who said it. Amen. Paul said, be selective about your thoughts. Cast down those things that attempt to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So, number one, what to do while you're waiting for your breakthrough? Stop listening to the lies of the devil. Everything he says to you is a lie. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Message translation says, don't get upset and don't be distraught. That's what lies are designed to do, is upset you. Upset you. Cause you to lose your joy and your peace. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But it doesn't stop there. Now see, the devil, he'll misquote the word. It's a lot of religious people that are being deceived by the lies of the devil because he didn't quote the word fully. How many times have you heard religious people say, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Hallelujah, I'm afflicted. But the next word's but. Everybody shout, but. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now that changes everything. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't say you'll never be afflicted. What I'm saying is, when the afflictions come, don't let it end there. Don't let the devil convince you, well, you're just being scriptural. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. No, the Bible says, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Amen? In the world ye shall have tribulations. Yeah, but what's the next word? But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen? So, stop listening to the lies of the devil. Number two, what to do while you're waiting for your breakthrough? Number two, watch your mouth. Watch your words. I know this is elementary. This is faith 101. Watch your words. I've had people say, oh, Brother Jerry, you mean we got to go back to watching what we say? Why'd you ever quit?
That's right.
Brother Hagin talked about that for over 60 years. Your words, the power of words. And people get upset with him preaching the same thing every sermon. Mark 11, 23 and 24. But it didn't sway him in the least. Brother Hagin, don't you know anything else? And he'd just respond with, when you get this, we'll move on to something new. Amen. Some people it takes 60 years to get it. Amen. Some people they need to hear it and 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 hear it. And then about the time you think you got it, go hear it again.
That's right.
I was sitting in my study one night a few years ago and I decided that I wanted to go back and hear the very first sermon that I'd ever heard Kenneth Copeland preach. 1969. I had it on reel to reel, and it's called The Word of Faith, the very first sermon I ever heard him preach that changed my life. And I remember how that message affected me in 1969. And I was impressed with the Lord to go back and listen to it again. And he said, listen to it like you've never heard it before. And I turned that, I got my old reel to reel tape player out and got that reel to reel. And I've got it on cassette too, but it meant something to me that that was the very tape that I listened to in 1969 that changed my life. So I put that reel-to-reel on there, and Brother Copeland started preaching on the Word of Faith. And man, I'm telling you, he hadn't been preaching 15 minutes, and I'm getting excited. And I acted just like it was the first time I'd ever heard it. And the same thing was happening on the inside of me that happened to me the first time I heard it. I mean, it was causing excitement and joy and aggressiveness. And just about the time I'm really getting into this, I was about to get up and run around my study a little bit. The telephone rang. I answered the phone. It was Brother Copeland. He said, Jerry, this is Kenneth. What are you doing? I said, I'm listening to you preach. He said, on what? I said, I'm listening to the very first message that I ever heard you preach in 1969. I said, Kenneth, I'm telling you, the anointing of God is still just as strong on that message right now, 30 years later, as it was the first time I ever heard it. I said, I'm about to tear my study down over here. I'm getting so excited, I can hardly stand it. He said, as soon as you get through with that, you get that tape over here. I need to hear it myself. Praise God. Amen. Sometimes you just have to go back and hear something like you've never heard it before.
That's right.
Most of the Word of Faith people have let watching what you say slip. We think, okay, I learned that way back there years ago. Let's go into something deep. It don't get any deeper in your mouth. Hello? Amen?
Amen?
Doesn't get any deeper than your mouth. I heard the Lord say this to me one time. He said, you come to me sometimes in situations where it looks impossible, and you think I'm going to give you some new revelation you've never heard before. And he said, most of the time, it's going back to the basics. And he said, it doesn't get any more basic than your mouth. Brother Copeland preached that on that message. I got a hold of it. And Carol and I made a pact like Gloria and Kenneth did back there when they first heard it. They made a pact with one another that if one of them talked negative, the other one would speak up and say, all right, that's your confession. I set myself in agreement with it, and it'll come to pass. You know, if one of them got up and said, man, I feel so sick today, the other one would say, that's your confession. I agree with it. You'll be sick all day. And they said, no, listen, I break the power of those words. And that's how they learn to watch their words, by helping one another. So Carol and I made that same pact, you know. But there'd be some days, you know, there'd be so much pressure and nothing happening, looking like it's not going to work. And maybe Carolyn would say, are we ever going to get out of debt? Are we ever going to be able to pay our bills? We're never going to get out of debt. And I say, well, Carolyn, that's your confession. I set myself in agreement. We'll be in debt the rest of our lives. She said, no. I break the power of those words. Or I'd get up one morning saying, you know, oh, man, I don't feel good. I feel like I got the flu. At your confession, I set myself in agreement. You've got the flu. No, I don't want it. I don't want the flu. I break the power of those words. And we's training one another. Amen. Now, don't get to the point where you're always trying to get one up on the other one. That's two for me and one for you. Amen. Do it as a blessing to one another. Not I caught him 12 times yesterday, only got me twice. No, you'll get in strife over the word. Amen. Carol and I did that one time. Man, we were, you know, we was having some battles here. And I heard Brother Copeland preaching on walking in love. And he said in Corinthians, it talks about love never does this and love never does that. And love's not puffed up and love, you know. And he said, well, since we're born of love, why don't you just put your name in there and confess that over you and say, Jerry's never puffed up and Jerry envieth not. No. And I thought, hey, let's go a step higher. Put Carol's name in there. So I'm in one room confessing. Every time when she'd get ugly with me, I was in that one room back there and I'm confessing. Carolyn is not puffed up and Carolyn envieth not and Carolyn seeketh not her own. And all of a sudden, I got quiet, and I heard Carolyn in the other room with my name in that confession. I walked out and said, what you confessing that over me for? I didn't do anything. You started it. And here we are in strife over the Word of God. Don't look so holy. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you have to go back to the basics. Watch your mouth. You can't experience breakthrough if you leave here talking negative again. You got to talk breakthrough. You got to charge the atmosphere around your house with breakthrough, praise God. Go with me to James chapter 3 for a moment. Not only should you stop listening to the lies of the devil, but you must put a guard over your mouth. James chapter 3, and notice here, beginning in verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And notice he's telling us in this illustration that the tongue is like the bit you put in the horse's mouth, or the rudder that you control a ship with. He said, even though, you know, that bit is certainly not as big as that horse, but that little bit in that horse's mouth will turn that horse whithersoever you desire. In like manner, that little rudder is certainly not as big as the ship, but that rudder will turn that ship in the direction that you desire. And he says, in like manner, so is your tongue. Your tongue has the ability to turn your situation around. When you're speaking God's word, if you're speaking what the devil says, then it's going to go that direction. If you're speaking what the word says, then your life is going to go in that direction. The Message translation says it only takes a spark to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do the same. Amen. So instead of speaking the lies of the devil, speak the word of God. Learn to say about your circumstances what God says about your circumstances. This plays a major role in you experiencing your breakthrough. In Philemon 1 verse 6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing
which is in you in Christ Jesus. The word effectual in the literal Greek means energized or activated. So you could say that this verse says that the communication of your faith may become energized and activated. Notice it says, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The word acknowledging in the Greek implies deep knowledge of the facts. So in other words, when we are speaking God's word, we are acknowledging facts. Jesus said, thy word is truth. And the definition of the word truth is the highest form of reality that exists. Now, I may have symptoms in my body, and that may be a fact. I may have even gone to the doctor, and the doctor diagnosed my situation, and he tells me what's wrong with me, and that is a fact. It is real. But it's not the highest form of reality. Jesus said, thy word is truth. So the highest form of reality is the word of God. If the doctor says, you've got this, but the word says you're healed, then the word is higher form of reality. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I figured this out all by myself. If you apply higher form of reality to lower form of reality, lower form must bow. Amen? Lower form says you'll never get out of debt. Higher form says the God of the breakthrough will visit your house. Hallelujah. Amen? So when you acknowledge the word, instead of acknowledging the situation. Now, I didn't say pretend the situation doesn't exist. That's not what I said at all. Faith does not pretend there are no problems. Amen? I don't go around saying, I don't have any problems. That's not a car note. I don't believe in car notes. They're not going to repossess my house. I don't believe in repossession. That's stupid. Amen? And faith doesn't pretend. Faith deals with facts. Amen? If you got a car note past due and they're threatening to repossess your car, that's a fact. You just go down to the finance company that's got the note on that car and tell them, I don't believe in past due. They'll say, we'll show you. Amen. Amen. They don't understand Mark 11:23. They understand green stuff. Money. Amen. Now, I'm not saying pretend that you have no problems. Pretend the problem doesn't exist. Pretend the problem is not real. It is real. Sickness is real. It will kill you. It is real. But it's not the highest form of reality. The highest form of reality is, by His stripes, ye were healed. The highest form of reality is, you have been redeemed from every sickness and every disease. Amen. And if you will continually apply higher form of reality to lower form, then lower form must bow. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a shout if you believe that. Amen? Hallelujah. So, first, quit listening to the lies of the devil. Secondly, watch your words. When you're speaking God's word, you are acknowledging reality in its highest form. Speak that reality continually. You could say that sparks are being released when you speak the word of God, and something is about to change. Your words of faith coming out of your mouth have the ability, the potential to change the course of your life. Hallelujah. Number three. Number one, quit listening to the lies of the devil. Number two, watch your words. Leave here talking breakthrough. Number three, be consistent and stay focused. Be consistent and stay focused. Just saying something positive a few times is not going to cause a turnaround in your life. It takes more than just inspiration. Walking out here today and say, boy, I'm going to watch what I say. And that lasts for about an hour. You got to be consistent. Amen? And consistency is the result of discipline. And I know discipline is not a favorite word in the body of Christ, particularly among charismatics. For most charismatics, discipline is bondage. Thank you for your enthusiasm over this revelation. Amen. We love the word free, free, free. Hallelujah, I'm free. Discipline is bondage. That's what many think. But every faith champion, every hero in faith, lived a disciplined lifestyle. And it takes discipline
to be consistent with what comes out of your mouth. It takes discipline to make up your mind. If you can't speak the Word of God, you're not going to say anything. That's what Brother Copeland told me back there years ago. Made me mad. It's not what I wanted to hear. He came back to Shreveport where I lived and preached again. And man, I had all these questions. Nobody could answer them for me. And I thought, man, I got to talk to this man. And that was impossible. You know, he didn't visit with people before he preached. And so I'm sitting out there, Carol and I sitting out there in the audience, just like you are right now, and thinking, man, I wish I had an hour with this guy where I could just ask him some questions, and knew that wasn't going to happen. He's sitting on the platform and he looked up and it looked like he was looking at me, and he looked out there and I thought he was looking at me, and he did like this, you know, did his finger like that. So I looked behind me to see who he was talking to, and nobody responded. And I turned back around and he did like that. And I went, he's... So I got up and I walked up the platform, and he walked off the platform into the room where the choir kept their robes, the closet. And we walked back there, and he said, now, I don't normally do this. He said, but God told me you had some questions and you needed some answers right now. What is it? I couldn't remember my name, much less the question. I mean, here I got this opportunity to talk to this man, and I fumbled around there. I couldn't remember my name. And he said, what is it? And I said, well, I said, now, Brother Copeland, I got a hold of this healing business. I said, now, when I heard you talk about what Jesus went through at Calvary to make us well, I said, that became a revelation to me. I don't have any problem with sickness and disease. I have learned how to take the Word of God and stand against sickness and disease. He said, well, what is the question? I said, I can't figure out how to get God to meet my needs financially. I said, what do you have to do to talk him into it? That's exactly the way I said it. And you know what he came back with? Great revelation. Wonderful revelation. Shadow of a dog never bit anybody. He turned around to walk off. I thought, that's the revelation I've been looking for all my life? The shadow of a dog never bit anybody? What has that got to do with the Word of God? And then just before he left, he turned around and said, your problem is your big mouth. If you'll learn the vocabulary of silence, it'll work for you. And then he walked off and left me in that closet. Made me so mad. I went home. I didn't want to hear what he had to say. Now I'm like everybody else in that church. I don't like him. I think Carol and I were the only two people in there that did like him, but not me anymore. Carolyn's on her own. He made me mad. That is not what I wanted to hear. Shadow of a dog never bit anybody. Your problem's your big mouth, and you need to learn the vocabulary of silence. And left me with that. I went home and I walked past that study where I'd set up that tape player with all them tapes I had. And when I saw that tape on that tape player of Kenneth Copeland's, the one I mentioned, Word of Faith, I walked in there and got it. I said, I'll show him. And I walked outside and I rolled that tape down the street. 700 feet of tape is rolling down the street. I said, I'll show him. I went in there and got me another tape. And I walked out and I was just about ready to roll it. And the Lord said, the answer's to your problems rolling down the street. I said, Lord, I went in there and asked that man a decent question. I was just as nice as I could be. And he come back with, my problem is my big mouth. I said, Lord, what is my problem? He said, your big mouth. I said, you got that off Copeland. He said, no, son, Copeland got that off me. I said, well, what is the vocabulary of silence? He said, if you can't talk the word, shut up. If you can't talk my word, shut up. Amen. I said, well, I know you don't know what the shadow of a dog never bit anybody is. He said, what he's trying to tell you is you're falling for smoke screens. Shadows don't hurt anybody. And all these lies of the devil you're listening to are shadows. They're smoke screens. Went along after that, got to preach my first sermon. Somebody said, what's my problem, Brother Jerry? I said, the shadow of a dog never bit anybody. And just left him with that revelation. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that's not what I wanted to hear the first time I heard it, but he was telling me the truth. And the Lord said that day, he said,
I'm going to give you supernatural replay of everything that's come out of your mouth since you first asked me to meet this need. He said, now in an atmosphere of faith, oh, you're real positive. He said, but under pressure, listen to what you're saying. And he played back in my spirit everything that had come out of my mouth since I had prayed and asked him to meet that need. Under pressure, I was not talking the word of God. And Brother Copeland was right. It was my big mouth. So it's not enough just to get inspired this morning and say, oh, I'm going to leave here and start talking positive. And then get outside, you know, and something didn't go your way. And you say, that just kills me. I just, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get out there and somebody said, you really believe that stuff? You really believe you're going to have a breakthrough like you said? Well, I don't know. I sure hope so. No, see, your inspiration didn't even last as far as the hotel.
That's right.
Or you trip back home. No, you got to be consistent. You got to stay focused. When I talk about consistency, discipline, focus, I can't help remembering. Some of you have heard me tell it before, but years ago, I met a man who was a professional bodybuilder. He had competed against Arnold Schwarzenegger, Lou Ferrigno, all those guys, you know, Mr. Universe and all that kind of thing. And I got acquainted with him and actually had a part in discipling him in the Lord after he came to Christ. And we became great friends, you know. And so he called me one day. He lived in California. And he called me one day and he said, Jerry, I'm really concerned about you preachers. I said, why? He said, well, most all you guys are out of shape and overweight. And he said, I think the devil would love to kill all of you just simply because you don't take good care of your body. He said, I've been working on a program for preachers. He said, you mind if I travel with you some and talk to you about how to eat properly and get a program that you can use even when you're on the road and design a program for you guys and then you could share it with your preacher friends? He said, I just want to be a blessing to you guys with some things I've learned over the years. And he said, in fact, if you'd like, I'll come and set you up on this program. I'll spend as much time as you want me to and teach you. I thought, well, dear Lord, it's not every day Mr. Universe becomes your personal trainer. So I said, yeah, come on. When do you want to come? So we set a day. And so I drove out to DFW to meet him. And when he got off the airplane, this guy's huge. He's like this. He looks like he's chiseled out of stone. Makes you mad. Ain't nobody ought to look that good, you know. I mean, he's just like that. 22 and a half inch biceps. Bigger than my thighs. You know. And so he gets off the airplane with his bright red shirt and white letters across the front. I mean, his chest is out like this, you know. And he gets off the airplane at DFW. When he walks out of the airplane, he stopped the traffic in DFW. Everybody looked at him. And across the front of his shirt said, Super Bodies. And I reached up to shake hands with him, and when I did, his biceps popped up just in shaking hands. It just, poop. You could almost hear the threads in his T-shirt screaming, please get back to normal, you know. And so he has another one of those T-shirts, and he throws it to me and says, put that on, Jerry, and call things that are not as though they are. So, I mean, he looked great in his Super Body T-shirt. I put mine on. Looked like I got a mini skirt on, man, you know. And my arms looked like threads hanging out of this shirt. And me and Tenorino are walking through the airport with Super Bodies. They looking at him and laughing at me, you know. And we get to my house, you know, and it's a good 45, 50-minute drive from the airport to my house. And so he's telling me, well, we're going to do. We're going to start in the morning, 5 o'clock, and, oh, man, we're going to do our stretching exercises, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. I said, what are we going to eat? He said, I brought you some wheat germ. I brought you some. I said, yeah, but what are we going to eat? He said, I got you a program. Everything he brought tastes like cardboard. You know. But, you know, I'm excited. I'm inspired. In fact, before he got there, I went to the sporting goods store. I bought all the latest Nike stuff. You got to look good when you work out. Man, I got Nike tennis shoes. I got Nike T-shirt. I got Nike shorts. I even turned my garage into Gold's Gym. Went out and bought all this equipment. Man, we don't have to go nowhere. We can do it right at Jerry's Gym. I'm inspired. Hallelujah. We get up I set my alarm clock next morning, got my Nike stuff sitting right over there on the chair, so when I get out of bed, all I got to do is get in it and go work out with Mr. Universe. Man, I beat the alarm up. I was so excited, I beat the alarm up. Got in my Nike stuff, and I walked out there in my den, and there's Mr. Universe lacing up his tennis shoes. Looked up at me and smiled and said, "You ready?" I said, "I'm ready." He said, "You look good." I said, "I just bought all this Nike stuff yesterday. Look good?" "Yeah, you look good." He said, "We're going to have fun today." I'd have known by the way he said that. We meant him. Man, he worked me out. Dear Lord, did he work me out. And yet, at the end of the day, man, I'm feeling good. In fact, when I got ready to go to bed that night, Carolyn's already in bed, and I said, "Would you like for me to pose before you go to sleep?" She said, "Go to sleep, clown." You know. But before I did, I got in the mirror and did a few of these, you know, and nothing had changed yet, you know. Still looked the same, but I felt good. Got my Nike stuff over here, set my alarm. Next morning, that alarm is screaming, and I never heard it. Finally, Carolyn said, "Turn that alarm off." And I turned over to turn the alarm on, and nothing worked. No, arms don't work. Legs don't work. She said, "Turn that alarm." I said, "I can't. I'm paralyzed." I felt like I was paralyzed. She said, "Turn that alarm." She took her foot and put it in my back and kicked me out of bed. I'm on the floor and I can't get up. She had to come over and put my Nike shirt on. When I walked out, I was like this. And I said, "Dennis, this hurts." He said, "No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain." I said, "I must be gaining because I'm in some serious pain in here, boy." He said, "We'll work that out." We worked out. We worked out. He had me on this program. Oh, man. He stayed there for quite a long time. By the time he left, man, I got the program down. I know what to do. I can even take this program on the road with me, and we in business. So he said, "I believe you got it now, and I'm going to leave and go back to Los Angeles." I said, "Fine." I took him out to the airport. I shook hands with him as they made the announcement it was time for him to board. I stood there and I watched him board. I stood by the window and made sure the airplane left. I watched that plane all the way to the runway and watched it take off. Then I got in my car. Now, between Dallas-Fort Worth Airport and my house on the airport freeway, there's no less than 45 wonderful restaurants, most of which I have eaten in before. And as I'm driving home, I got my program laying there by my seat, you know, and Dennis has autographed a Mr. Universe picture for me, and he said, "Put that up in your gym for inspiration, you know, and with him posing, you know, and all this good stuff." And I'm driving down the airport freeway, and every restaurant on both sides of the freeway are screaming at me. And then I passed by my favorite Mexican restaurant, and I heard voices coming out of there. "Hey, senor, we have some enchiladas for you." I pulled in there. They know me in there. "Hey, Brother Jerry, what would you like?" I said, "Everything on page one. Don't even bring me a menu. Everything on page one." I turned around and made sure Mr. Universe wasn't looking. Now, obviously, I don't look like Mr. Universe today. It's called inconsistency. No discipline and no focus. Amen? Well, I don't look bad for 85, though, do I? Amen. That's the same way many people are when they leave conventions like this. Get inspired. Go out there and buy you an autographed picture of Jesse. In fact, I wish you'd take him home with you. He might even go. Get you the latest Kenneth Copeland book, you know, on faith. Get all the material. Get inspired. You know, it doesn't say Nike on it. It says, you know, how to live by faith. Get all the stuff. Man, you look good with the latest Bible cover. You know, got a library full of stuff. And yet if there's no consistency, if you're not focused, if you don't discipline yourself to stick with this, then whose fault is it that you don't turn out like Brother Cole? Whose fault was it I don't look like Mr. Universe? His? No. Mine. And those enchiladas. Amen. So you got to stay focused. Let me close with this. Go with me to Psalm. I believe it's Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. Brother Jesse is coming. Be nice, Brother Jesse. I see that grin. Verse 13 and 14. By the way, Kathy's preaching tonight, so be nice. Verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Notice David says, if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of God, I would have fainted. You got to have something out in front of you that is able to keep you focused. And that something's got to be the Word of God. He said, if I had not believed that I was going to see the goodness of God, I would not have been able to persevere. I would not have been able to endure. I would not have been able to continue to stand. I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of God. That's what I want you to do when you leave here this week. Hold fast to what you've received. Don't let go of the reality that God wants to visit your house with breakthroughs. Keep that in front of you. Keep confessing it. Keep declaring it. Keep praising God for it. And understand that if you will keep that in front of you to help you stay focused and single-minded, then you're going to get what you believe for. Don't allow the lies of the devil, the words of your mouth, and your inconsistency cause you to forfeit your breakthrough. Don't listen to his lies. Watch your words. Stay focused. Breakthrough is inevitable. Amen. Give the Lord a good shout if you receive it. Hallelujah.